Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I'm not hiding food in my cheeks. All right, I've gained a few lbs.
Winter's coming, are you sure?
I swear. Like, it's like I got acorns in here for later.
Hey,
no.
You know what? You'll always be ahead of us.
Okay? It's true.
So I get it. I can't help it. Right. My face is getting bigger.
Well, no, you wouldn't be that blatant about it. You'll be, well, I guess we're all in bed now, so I've got a do not disturb on my phone, so don't look for me in my room or the casino.
I will never live down that mistake where I said nobody, showbiz. But I still want to kind of do that.
Yeah.
I want to.
We did that last time. Then you called me at 10 p.m. said, hey, what are you doing? I said, I'm in the hotel room. Come on down. I'm at the slot machine.
Okay, I'm a hypocrite. I'm a hypocrite.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Happy Friday. Happy Friday. Woo! I have to tell you that in these divisive times, there occasionally is a moment of sunshine and just a moment where you realize, wow, all of us human beings, we start out A-okay.
Yeah.
And I will tell you that on my Thursday, and I'll be honest with you, something I don't always love doing because I am the Mr. Mom for two kids. Mm-hmm. And I pick them up at school. And by the way, later in the show, I want to talk about, I got a chance to listen, and God knows the guys have listened to me bitch about the sound of the show for a long, long time. And it was nice to turn it on and finally have it perfect. It only took a decade. So it was really, really terrific.
Like a fine wine, Mike.
It was
more
was
like cheese.
But DGH.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah. Ever vigilant. Yes. Because it was just nice to hear all the levels right and hear the sound clear as crystal. And this is on the heels of the other day watching a video clip. I dove into the show. I don't watch what I do or listen to what I do very often. When I do, I watch it really purely from a technical standpoint, or if there's something particularly funny
like
that one of you guys
director.
Did. Yeah. I don't like watching my own stuff. It doesn't. Yeah. If I do something like a new impression, I want to see what it sounds like. I'll check that out. But the way Maddie directs the video, if you haven't gotten a chance to go to our YouTube channel and check out the way this show looks, it's just funny because when we're going and all of us are going, Maddie is on
the case.
She got the rhythm of the show.
Of the nation.
And then the audio of the show, which really has been inconsistent over the years. It has. That's the bottom line.
That's just
the reality. And you know, you guys are listening to it. You, Rob, and you, Pony, are obviously doing a good job with that. So I'm listening, waiting for school to close at 2:05. I am in the parking lot at 1:30. No, I'm sorry, 1:20.
Mm.
1:20.
So 45 minutes in advance.
And there are 7 or 8 cars in front of me.
Ooh.
I hate that. Line. That's so stupid that it should have to be
like
that
a gumball
way.
Race.
Yeah. Well, it's the volume of students. So there's no other way to really do it. And I think they run it like a machine.
Mm.
It's efficient. And man, oh man, love to see that principal out in front of the school managing that pickup herself. That is, and I bet she's been doing that. She's been there for a long time.
How many pencils does she have in her hair, you think?
She gave me a
like the lady
red,
in Ferris Bueller? Yeah.
She gave me a red card that she put in under the
wiper. That's like having white rocks in your front yard. That means you're in.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was for, but she was putting in all the other cars in the cars
that
in
means
front of me.
Call
I think,
me.
I think you're called a silver fox in a different type of community.
Perhaps you'd like to spend a little after school time with
she got the walkie talkie
bear.
And she's going back and forth. She looks at one card. Mm-hmm. I got Michael and Donnie, and she's going back and forth. So anyway,
that's cool.
Rob motivated me by saying that one of his pleasures in life was to listen to the kids' conversations. Mm-hmm. And they're hysterical because they're little human beings that have it all figured out. And when they talk amongst each other, they give their opinions and
what do they talk about? Possibly talk about?
And are they all hopped up because they're right out of school? Is that part of it?
They're all hopped up and they're going to golf, which they're really excited
about.
And the conversation yesterday was about Deputy Dan or whatever
deputy
the school
dog. Deputy dog.
Whatever the school deputy that's there, the Lee Sheriff's deputy that's there. And they're talking about one. Donnie says, I want to be a sheriff when I grow up. And Mike says, Michael says, I want to be a SWAT team member. It's just entertaining.
Oh, wow.
They like that. And it's sad a little bit that you have to have an officer at school. But
no,
I mean,
that's
neither here nor there. You know, it's yes, it is.
You need to have deputy dog,
it's
like, Mike.
It's safety first. This guy's got to walk around the perimeter.
Yeah. Hey, deputy dog.
That's more for Florida.
Deputy dog. I can't do it anymore. That's what I can't do.
Musky the muskrat.
But I'm listening, and I say to myself, I'd love to do, with Donnie's father's permission, I'd love to do an interview with these guys. So right. I record it, and then Donnie's dad comes to pick him up, a really nice guy, and says, yeah, yeah. He
sure.
laughs when
Why
he
not?
Hears
yeah.
it.
He
I
said,
play it
sign
for him
here,
he says,
sign here, initial here.
Here it is, though. This is the, how do I describe it? This is just human beings that haven't been just worn on by the world. I'm not articulating.
Unsullied,
this
untainted.
They're just
pure
little guys that are crazy about each other, and they love golfing together, and they're nice kids, and they're kind to each other. And, you know, it's a little something that I hope it makes you feel as good as it made me feel. But I'm calling this because I would love to revisit this. The kindergarten interview. Very brief, and I'll
interview
for you right now. By the way, I thought I'd do it later in the show. I'm not. I'm doing it at the front of the
ready
show.
Ready to go.
So when
great.
I say welcome back, when I say disregard the welcome back to the Mike O'Mara show that I see, let's play the interview with Donnie and Michael, two best pals on the Mike O'Mara show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara show. Very special interview today. We have Michael and his best friend, Donnie. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Hi, Donnie.
Hi.
How you guys doing today?
Good.
Michael, how are you?
Good.
Donnie, how are you?
Good.
What's new? What are you guys up to?
Well, we're playing Manhunt.
What's Manhunt, Donnie? You want to answer, Michael?
He doesn't really know what's Manhunt. So, Manhunt is a game where it's kind of like military, but it's actually not. It's actually Cade, my cousin, taught me this. So, you kind of just have to go around the house, and whoever, survives going around the house, going back into my bedroom, wins.
That's a fascinating story. I appreciate that. That's wonderful. Donnie. Hey, Donnie. No, put the gun down, please. Donnie, do you like the game?
Yes.
Are you looking forward to going to play golf today?
Yes.
What do you like best about golf?
That Michael hits like Tiger Woods and he's the best golfer I know.
Oh, you just said that Michael hits like Tiger Woods? Did you hear that, Michael? Put the gun down, please, for a second. He just said you hit the ball like Tiger Woods. That's a pretty good friend, isn't it?
Uh-huh. I said that I was trying to encourage him once.
Yes, and I remember that, and that was nice. And what do you like best about Donnie?
Well, he's a really nice kid, and even though he's 5 and I'm 6, we're still best friends.
And what do you like about Michael, Donnie?
That he's nice and he plays nice.
Oh, you know what? You guys are buddies, and now you got your arm around each other, and you're going over to the driving range to learn how to play golf. So say, scream goodbye, listeners.
Bye!
There it is. That's it. That's the little guys right there.
So
there
sweet.
Are. His so sweet. Aren't they?
Breast
aren't they
friends.
Sweet? His breast
friends. Breast
friends. Breast friends. We're breast
Hopefully
friends.
They will be when they get older.
Even though Donnie is. By the way, Donnie's 6 in November, so they're not that far apart in age either. So
your son's verbal skills have really advanced. Like words like encourage. That's crazy.
Yeah. He's on the range and
also redshirted.
Yeah, true enough.
Redshirt, a little older, and just nice kids. And they like each other. And
what's
just,
the story with the artillery, arsenery, whatever you've got?
My house, look, okay, you know the route I've gone
with
my anti-gunness is that you let them play. I played with guns when I was a little kid. Didn't affect me growing up. We don't have real, you know,
they're Nerf
real
guns, right?
They're Nerf guns.
Okay. Yeah.
And
Nerf
if you guns, don't let a kid have a gun, he's going to pick up a stick that's shaped like a gun and make it be a gun. It's just the way kids are.
That's the way they chase each other and they do that whole thing.
At least today's Nerf guns, correct me if I'm wrong, because I've seen my niece and nephews play with them. They're neon. They don't look like real guns. No. I remember when I was a child, the Super Soakers looked like real guns.
Yeah.
And if you saw two Haitians, a Bolivian kid, and three white guys that were roughly, I would say, eight running around the neighborhood, we looked like a little guerrilla militia.
Yeah.
And now you know they're toys. Now you know they're toys.
I probably win the award for growing up with guns where for years and years and years I played in the backyard with a wooden, what I believe was a toy gun. And then one day I said, Dad, what are those what's that squiggly writing on that on the top? Mm-hmm. He said, that's Japanese. It was a real Japanese gun that he threw out. He hated the war so much that he didn't want to have anything. It's not like he was saving it and put it. I'm sure guys saved the swag they got from souvenirs and stuff like that. But my dad.
Ears and such. And
it's in Glastonbury, Connecticut. It's somewhere buried deep under the leaves, I think. That's where it is.
Wow.
That's where it exists right now. But what's that?
That conversation took quite the turn.
Yeah. No, but at least we have the topic for
these
the next
beautiful kids.
We have the topic for the next interview.
The war.
No, but the war.
Don't bring up the war,
it's
Oscar.
The war.
The war.
What? Is your son that great a golfer?
No, not yet. No, he is
better than Donnie though.
He is. I don't really. Donnie's. They're a different. Donnie just started.
Okay.
And Michael's been starting a while, and they're just. Here's the deal at this age. And I talked to Ryan about this. Right now, the goal is just to make them like it. Not force it, but do what you can to make them like it. The idea of going to get your golf lesson with your best friend is pretty positive.
Well, it helps,
When this opportunity came up, I said, let's go for it. And then at the same time, they got a new guy up here in Cocoonville who is just fantastic, who's just a good guy, likes kids. Has his own kids. He's a young dad, and he is terrific with the kids. So the whole thing is kind of positive. And look, where I live, it is incumbent upon me to provide stuff for those kids to do. Play dates are important.
Yes.
Taking them out to do stuff together is important. Because otherwise, I get, with all due respect, the neighbor down the street brought my little Monster House thing by the other day. And that was wonderful because she acknowledged my kids. And what I said to her yesterday, because they blew off the window, she said, did you throw them away? I said, yeah, I'm sorry. I said, but let me just tell you something. There are very few people in this neighborhood that acknowledge that we have a kid.
Yeah.
And to have somebody that's a neighbor be excited
super
enough
sweet.
When you bring something over is super, super kind. So, Joanne, that one's for you. It's really, really nice. Most people are just like, they'll be like, what an oddity. It's like you'd see somebody
like you
as
care.
A panda.
Like, why do you care?
A panda.
Well, there's sweetness. There's kindness.
Yeah.
But there's also, like when I go to a restaurant and I've got a kid with me, there are moments where I have had older people literally walk to our table and speak to us, like this old man that said, I saw you interacting with your son. I was a teacher for 27 years, and I wanted to come over and just say hi because
that's
looks like
sweet.
Such a nice young man. That's, to me, a real... I will, when I'm doddering, and my child is 16, I will do
math.
That. I will do that. Then there are the people that are down here because they've raised families, and they have come to escape and...
they're over it.
Or even
spend
worse,
their last years,
the
just,
people
you know,
that might,
hell with it.
Even worse, the people that are so selfish that they've never had a family, so they can't put themselves into your situation, and those are the most selfish
of
all.
No one comes to mind.
None for mine either.
What? Well, I'm still working through my life, people. I don't have to have kids right away.
I don't know if Rob was talking about you.
Oh, sorry.
I'm not really sure if he was talking about you.
I got a lot of people telling me that
strollers.
I need to...
Some people
to freeze eggs and
I interact with cats.
We'll see a doctor.
you're doing your own show there right now.
And you know what? You're feeling a little defensive. Unnecessarily.
You didn't need to get him. Don't get defensive.
I forgot about that guy.
I don't think there's a chance in hell that one way or another, you and Shannon are not taking care of a little person at some point in your life. I think 4 years.
No, four children.
Four children,
two sets of twins.
I think it's I'm okay.
But we're gonna have to pay for it, and then we'll get two each time.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm living
like Costco.
I'm living proof that there is no timetable.
That is true.
Fucking around.
That is true. And he's fantastic.
Yes.
Amazing.
And so are my daughters, and I love the way it's played out. I'm very, very lucky, very, very fortunate.
But as someone who has been through the rodeo three times now, you, twice for me, I have made a vow, a solemn vow, that when I see someone perhaps having trouble with a kid on an airplane or in a public place or a store or a restaurant, I will always try to lend any sort of sympathy that I can, because there but for the grace of God. That's tough. But you have, these are human beings, as you said. These are little human beings.
And I have
you need
to qualify to- my comment about that. Okay. Because, yes, when it comes to some, a parent having trouble with a child who is aware of others,
okay,
I will be.
I'm with you.
The
with
parent,
you.
I think back to, this was the old Don and Mike show. We were traveling somewhere, or maybe I was going somewhere on an airplane, and there was a father, and you know who I'm talking about, the parent that has to verbalize everything to their child.
Yeah.
And I think it was Joshua was the kid's name.
I remember.
Says, Joshua, now what we're going to do, and then Joshua's got questions because he's very precocious, and he's going, where do the planes go? Well, the planes, Joshua, are going to back up out of the gate right now. And then... And what's going to happen to, well, Joshua, the plan, and I'm sitting there, oh, for Christ's sake, you're going to do your little tutorial here.
Well, that's can't as much do- for dad as it is for Joshua. You know,
yeah,
this, of course.
Can't you do your tutorial at a volume level that's reasonable? And this discussion went on for the whole at a volume level that was out of, it was ridiculous.
Okay, but it's the volume level, not the conversation.
Right. It's the volume level and the conversation.
Because I would want, I'd bet $100 right now if I had in my pocket. I think I have 40. I'd bet what I have in my pocket that you tell little Michael exactly what type of plane you guys are getting on, who manufactured it. This is what it's about.
Not on the plane. Probably around, in and around.
Okay.
It.
Yeah.
I'm really all about, because I'm a phobic flyer, Oscar. I'm all about, you know, quiet, calm. On planes. Carla will tell you, early in our relationship, Carla didn't give a rat's ass, didn't, and no fear of flying at all. And she'd want to chat me up, like, on, we're getting on the number one runway, getting ready to, you know,
to
rotate wheels up. And I'm like, don't talk to me now. Please, for the love of God, don't talk to me now. That's the maximum time. I just like peace. I'd like that to be. And then, you know, landing with applause or laughter or whatever.
And you still rub Jameson's on your kids' gums before you take off?
No, it's actually vodka. Jameson's,
that's for teething.
He didn't like the smoky flavor.
No, we that way.
The worst one was me when I had my first daughter, Catherine, when she had ear problems. Aww. She was crying. Little bitty baby going to Arizona, and a guy across from me going,
oh,
the
no.
The hem and the haw and the hem and the haw, looking over at us and going, shaking his head.
You need oxygen,
see, that's, that's the most villainous thing you can do, I think.
Yes.
Because you think there is one person in the world that has a crying infant that is proud or unembarrassed about it. No, you're miserable about it. That's like telling someone they're fat. They know.
Yeah, I heard.
You know, this is the thing about
yesterday.
Oscar, I'm sorry, buddy.
Are you watching the Florida State behind the scenes, kind of like the Hard Knocks, but
the
college football version of it?
Yes, yes.
The coach brings his family. I think Family Thursday is where they bring him to practice. Says he wants to show these young
manufactured
men.
Manufactured,
you know,
in my eyes.
It's what do you mean manufactured in your eyes?
Because
why?
You see. Okay.
I thought it was the first time I thought the coach was great. Better than that douche with the bullhorn going, hey, I'm a tough football guy. Get ready. Morning, ladies. Morning.
That ladies? Douche. Really?
May he never be a head coach of the I don't know who the head coach of Florida State
I'll
is.
Find
not
out
Florida
right
State.
Now.
The University of the Florida Gators.
Yeah, the
but,
Gators.
But I liked him, and he brings his kid out, and he's throwing the ball on the practice
How
field
old's the kid about?
With his young son. Yeah, I want to say 9 or 10,
okay.
Something like all that.
Right.
And he's throwing the ball around, and I said to Carly, he said, I just love little guys like that. I think they're just so cool. Little boys, having my first little boys got me all pumped up for having a little boy and throwing the ball and doing all that stuff. It's a lot of it. Now, they can drive you nuts occasionally, but this is the Hard Knocks of the college, right? They're running out
of HBO. Does he love baseball or football yet?
No.
As a sport to watch?
He is aware of sports. He is not into watching sports yet. I would love, you know, I guess I was more sedentary than my son I would be at my father's knee on Sundays watching the Giants when I was 5 years old.
Don't worry about it, Mike. When I was 5 or 6, I had no interest in sports either.
The show's 24/7 college football, and it's following the Florida Gators.
What channel
it's
is it on?
HBO.
HBO. And home box office, Mike.
And while reason why I say it's contrived, and maybe it's just formula, because you see Hard Knocks, and Hard Knocks has that family day where everybody comes out.
Yeah,
so
you're
it's just,
right.
It seemed formulaic. Right. And then you see girlfriends and wives and ex-girlfriends, and they always have somebody that has 13 kids, and you're like, oh, wow, did you bring a school bus? I had to buy a Sprinter van for them. Who knows?
Yeah. All I know is when I'm watching that, I'm like, I constantly find myself saying this. Are they going to class? Anyway, it's just...
because it's, that's what you're concerned
shouldn't
about.
Shouldn't you be paying them?
Yes.
Football players, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, sir. Yeah. They're not going to class. No. I mean, I don't see them in class.
They go
maybe
to class late night or before. This is the schedule they live during the football season, Mike. This is why people say that players should be paid. It is your job to be an athlete.
All right. Well, they do something in the episode that I watched. And I only watched one. Where we are going to implement that for our live show in Las Vegas, and that is 10 o'clock bed check, where the coach, that's me, goes from room to room, checking everybody to make sure that they're going to get a good night's sleep and both Friday night and Saturday.
Do you have a bullhorn?
No, he doesn't do it with a bullhorn. He just drops in.
Oh, okay.
And you can tell they love it. They have a home game, and they still go to a hotel, so the team can be all in one place, and he can keep tabs on
everybody. This would be Mike for us, though. Hi, Mike. You got your vouchers? I'm going to go to bed, but not go to bed. See you in the morning.
Yeah. Now, you all turn in. I'll be down in the slot machine area.
Oh, no, you wouldn't be that blatant about it. You'll be, well, I guess we're all in bed now, so I've got a do not disturb on my phone, so don't look for me in my room or the casino.
I will never live down that mistake where I said nobody, showbiz. But I still want to kind of do that.
Yeah.
I want to.
We did that last time. Then you called me at 10 p.m. said, hey, what are you doing? I said, I'm in the hotel room. Come on down. I'm at the slot machine.
Okay, I'm a hypocrite. I'm a hypocrite.
Come on down.
Goddamn show, I'm a hypocrite.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
And it's going to be $67.50 for the cramp medicine cigarettes, adult diapers, nicotine gum. Please, you still smoking and chewing the nicotine gum at the same time, Fred? What's going on with you? Thanks so much. Have a good one, buddy. Not during business hours, Mama. Stanley, I've been giving you free internet for way too long. I'd say to the tune of about 500 smackaroos, okay? I need to get a wedding gift for my mom. What do you got for me?
Well, I got a golf cart that used to belong to Gary Busey. I got it at auction.
Gary Busey? My mom did love that Buddy Holly movie he was in. She loves golf carts.
It's a very practical gift. I'll throw in a fox for a lap blanket.
Done deal. I'll take them both. Wonderful. Thanks so much. Next.
Cab.
Hey, Mom. Sorry I'm late.
No worries. Just grab a drink. Maybe take someone on a tour of the house.
Okay.
Hey, I heard you're giving house tours.
Yeah, I am. Kitchen? Kitchen island where you put stuff. You can put that there if you want.
Oh, thanks.
Here's a fridge.
Oh, wow. Is that one of those smart refrigerators you can hook up to your phone?
No, I think it's a dumb one. I don't know. Microwave?
Hey, I heard you're clowning again. That's great.
No, I'm not clowning.
Ooh, you all right?
Fine. I'm not clowning again. Where'd you hear that?
Well, I just heard it through the grapevine.
The grapevine? Well, sometimes grapevines are dead, Martha, and untruthful. Clowning is... It's out of fashion. Spices. Mom's getting a lot of spice.
I'm sorry, Chip. That's a bummer. I know how much you love it.
Cinnamon, thyme. What's your favorite spice?
Dill weed.
Really? I thought it'd be more like a bay leaf.
Why?
No taste.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Podcast Village Studios. That's a clip from the television show that Rob and Oscar love, and I'm starting to watch, too, and love it. Baskets with Zach Galifianakis, and if you listen to him closely, and his Belushi nose. Anyway, I don't know.
Who knows?
Just you really don't know.
Showbiz, Mike. It's showbiz. They're running a fast crowd.
From Concrete, Washington to
Gilbert, Minnesota.
Stop it. From Tigard, Oregon to Dalton, Massachusetts, Lincoln, Nebraska, Copenhagen, Denmark, the Mike O'Mara Show is on now and brought to you by Cornerstone. Nobody really enjoys the ins and outs of mortgages and whatnot. Probably because nobody, that's the first time Whatnot's ever been in a commercial.
Yeah.
Use it sparingly, Mike. Penalize me for that.
Mike, yeah, like a bay leaf.
probably because almost nobody really understands how they work. Notice I said almost nobody because nobody understands it like the folks at Cornerstone. So if you're looking for a way to, or for a way, that's like far away, to take advantage of the current financial climate, you got to hit up Cornerstone First Financial. Rates are at their lowest level in 3 years, so almost every homeowner in the country can benefit from a refi right now. Cornerstone First Financial will tell you how. They know the ins and outs of the finance game, and they will make sure that you time it right. Plus, Cornerstone will guarantee to meet or beat any competitor. Some restrictions apply, but if you are in the market for a refi or a new mortgage, or you need to take out some equity or eliminate PMI, do yourself a favor and call Cornerstone to go over your specific situations and options, all credit types considered. Cornerstone, licensed in California, Maryland, Virginia, D.C., Georgia, Florida, and Colorado. Click their banner on our website, visit cornerstonefirst.com, or call them 866-625-1221. That's 866-625-1221. Cornerstone First Financial, personal attention from application to closing. The engagement of our audience in the last few weeks has been mighty impressive.
Very much so.
No exception yesterday when we were talking about Carla's business name and Oscar's car. Oscar, lots of people had lots of opinions about your automobile.
Mostly hurtful.
And, they were judgmental.
They were helpful.
I will give you that. They were.
Are you flattered? Are you flattered? Surprised? How do you feel about the fact that people have really gotten over the hump of not wanting to offer opinions? Because they
love opinions.
They love to opine. They really do.
I appreciate it. I thank people on there, even when they were insulting me.
You wouldn't put it out there. I wouldn't put it out there if you didn't want it to be out
there. That's true. You want the input. Yeah.
And in Carla's case, she specifically said to get it out there.
Yes.
But when you showed me a picture of this Mercedes-Benz car.
1993 Mike.
That I must tell you, I have always wondered why that car is so scary expensive when it really looks like a Lego.
Not my guy. My guy's not expensive.
Well, no, but your guys is, but the new ones are.
Oh, you know what?
And that's why you have to go back to like when the beginning of my radio career to get your
what
car.
Station were you at in 1993?
1993. Let me see.
You were at JFK.
We were already at JFK. Okay. Yeah, we were always doing afternoons. Yeah.
Okay.
But you know what? You
must
may say
nice
that
successful.
$20,000 is not a lot of money for a car, but it is for a non-functioning car that's been underwater.
Hey, let's hold up. Hold up.
Rob, what do you, I looked at the pictures. Do you believe that that car has been submerged?
Absolutely. 100%. And there are several things. First of all,
fresh water or salt water?
It matters not, but it's going to be salt. Mm-hmm. But the thing that really occurred to me during the show yesterday is the suspicious and underhanded nature of sending the picture of the car covered in suds. Because that's absolute trickery. That makes the car, it sort of disguises it. It makes it look shiny if it's not. And also, it disguises the fact that the original picture of the exterior is not the picture of the car he's buying.
Do you want an update?
Yes!
I do.
Okay.
Yes, yeah.
So, I have a gentleman from, is it Pompano Beach? I don't even know how to pronounce it.
Pompano, right?
Yes. Who is arriving in, we're roughly 45 minutes away from inspection time. As Mike said, that I'm a bloodhound and I won't let it go.
I would have lit that $100+ on fire.
Yes,
it would have been better spent.
For the tune of $175.
It's $175. Yesterday was something like $126.
I thought it was. Apparently, things have changed in the last 4 years. Okay. And
he found out the car. He said, oh, this is a bigger job. This is $175 job.
Yeah, I found him on the interweb.
Sure.
And we had a quick chat. He looked up the car as, by the way, if you mention anything on this show, listeners will find it. God bless them.
Yeah, they found the actual picture.
They found the
car.
Don't outbid me. Let me figure this out first, please.
Meanwhile,
I bet They're usually reasonably respectful about stuff like that. But people are curious,
Or outbid me. Right. Either way.
Fast forward 4 days, Doug Carlson is zooming down the streets of Washington State.
Whee! In a yellow Lego.
In a yellow Lego.
So the gentleman asks, he goes, what do you want me to look for? And he goes, I ask you this because people are looking for
value.
The ride.
Country style.
He goes, I will cover the mechanical. I will cover the ride. He goes, you will get a thorough email of everything that's broken down and a phone call this morning about what I think is going on with his vehicle.
Will he give you his will he give you an estimate of what
thumbs
he thinks
up
you should
or
pay
thumbs
for
down
it?
Or even if I should get the car? Bottom line.
Okay. All
right. And
but no number. He won't come back with a number.
He said this is what's great about
he already came
the
with a number, Mike. 175. Yes.
He said he could only do it this morning because he's coming up to Baltimore for an antique car show. And I said, oh, this is destiny. If I buy the vehicle, can you bring it on up on your trailer? He said, would love to, but someone stole my trailer last year. And I said, oh, well then, how are you coming up to the antique show? He goes, I'm a judge. I don't have to bring a car. And I said, okay, well now we know more about each other than we need to because you've done nothing for me except for let me know
so
that
he's flying.
No, he's driving up, but he doesn't have a trailer, to bring a car with him.
So he's not bringing stuff.
He's not bringing stuff. He's just going to be a judge.
Is it hard, Mike? I think this is the first time in 4 years you've missed the Baltimore Antique Car Show.
I used to be a staple there.
Well, you do the opening. You did the opening.
Yeah. Hey, how you all doing today? Anybody dusty?
Like the President's Cup?
Yeah. What is that, a Nova?
Fantastic. So he's judging an antique car show.
Yes.
In Charm City. Right.
This guy's been around for 40 plus years. I contact the gentleman. I say, I found a third party inspector. Are you still open to this? He said, yes. And it's going to happen this morning, which was yesterday, tomorrow morning. He said, fine. Here's my contact info. And during that time, I'm still at the office roughly at 9:30 p.m. I start looking at Facebook, which I don't get a chance to look as much as I'd like to. I find no less than 25 messages of people telling me buyer beware, including one gentleman who says he comes from a world of this, this car restoration and specifically Mercedes. And he has what looks like a crime scene depiction of the photos with circles of bodies, but not bodies, circles of water lines on the engine where he can, by looking at the photos, zoom in and say, this car has been submerged. It may have been salvaged. The guy probably bought it for $3,000 somewhere, painted it, made it look cool, and now he wants to sell it to you.
Yeah. All right. Well, you're going to know soon enough, right?
I'm going to know.
Did you mention specifically water damage to the dude that's going to be the old man that's going to be looking at your Mercedes?
So, Mike, this is what – it's like you're inside my head. I read this around 11 p.m.-ish, and I say, should I tell the guy that I'm paying to – inspect a car that I'll probably never buy if there is water damage because that's what he should be looking for anyways. I told him that in passing the first time.
You tell him anything you want because he's your – he is supposed
to be your client.
Advocate.
Yeah, you're the client.
But why
unless the, you know, the unscrupulous guy that might be selling you a submerged automobile were to double the price of the inspection and pay him $300 to tell you – that the car was a winner chicken dinner.
Now I'm Matlock. I'm going to figure out if this guy finds it or not. And if he doesn't find it, then we know something's up.
How did you come across the car inspector? That would be the first question.
This gentleman, our friend of ours, I would say, Michael Corleone from Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay.
He owned a car dealership, there is a network of trusted inspectors that you can
hire.
That
he's fine.
Absolutely.
Right? If you got him from another party and he's coming in
this
there,
guy
and that's
is
what,
not part of that network because I called Michael Corleone and said, hey, do you still have access to that inspection firm for just dealerships? And he goes, I sold that dealership 3 years ago during the recession. he goes, no chance. The interweb is your friend. So I found him on the internet. We're going to find out.
Well, Mike, I can't think of anything more trustworthy than someone in the secondhand automobile business that you find on the internet. That's a good
guy.
Let
me just say this. If the guy had said, if you want somebody, we have inspectors that can give it, that wouldn't make sense. He wouldn't do that.
No.
So you're going to find out mid-morning exactly when the guy's
supposed
to get in
touch. The call comes in at noon. Now, I could text the gentleman if you want real time, because we're recording the bonus show Friday.
Yeah. Right.
If you want real time...
Mm-hmm.
I could ask him if he wants to come on the show and tell the world what this is all about.
Get him on Monday. Book him on Monday.
Okay.
And if he'd to come on, and if he, you know, if he doesn't mind doing that. Otherwise, let's get a full report and find out exactly what the deal is. And here's the question. All right. I'm just going to throw this out.
Just be honest.
And
this hurtful is fine.
This is, no, I'm not being hurtful. I listened to the guy. I watched the thread. I read the thread. Some of the threads. And I did find myself to these cars that were roughly the same, some of them four doors from the same era, that were that looked like on the up and up for the same money that you're going to be paying. What the hell is wrong with you, Oscar?
No, the two door is something that I've been looking at, I would say, since Biggie Smalls first hit the market.
That's, yeah, you got to admit, Mike, nothing.
That's a notorious B.I.G.
All right, let me get this out of the way then. Okay. For a very judgmental man, my good friend, Mr. Trip Affleck, did you indeed like this because it was in the Transformer movies?
Okay.
Come on now. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. The pause means yes. I know him. I know him well.
There's a big part of me that says that yellow car looks like Bumblebee a little bit.
Yeah.
While it's not a Volkswagen or a Camaro, it looks... You know what that car screams, Mike? That car screams, that's a car that I would have loved to have had in high school. And my parents would have never bought it for me. I could have never afforded it. I probably shouldn't buy it now.
And in a way,
you know what I mean?
In a way, it is a transformer because in 2 weeks it's going to transform into rust.
But there was not a Mercedes tank car like that in
there,
any of the Transformers.
No, it does look like a transformer. That is true. He is right. He is correct.
Is it because it's yellow, or are there like those type of cars in any of the Transformer movies? The brand itself, the model itself.
Yeah, that model is a Transformer, but just a recent one, not a classic one. Not
it
a classic.
Doesn't matter.
Not
it
a
doesn't
classic.
Matter. That's why he liked it.
Yep.
Because
yep.
it's a Transformer.
And it's yellow.
You seem to be really, really attracted
to this
color.
And the
two door
is rare because the four door is
more convenient.
That's a family car. Two door screams fun. Yeah, four-door screens responsibility.
Two-door tells me you'll be rubbing like road grit from that tire off your Labradoodle till 2022.
Yeah, that tire did look like a tire looked like it came back from Fallujah.
One gentleman was kind enough to say, hey, did you ever think that the water line stops where that new Alpine radio starts? Because maybe the water line, the water, it's been submerged to the level where the HVAC, which is, you know, heating and cooling, is now all gone. And he just took it out and said, no one's going to notice this.
You know, I would tell your guy one thing. If you do talk to him before he gets over there, just one piece of advice for me. I'm not a car inspector, but he might want to start it. Just start it.
No. He's supposed to drive it. He's supposed to look for frame damage, water damage.
And no hesitation on the part of the guy that's selling it when you mention that this guy's going to come by. Is this guy a dealer that you're dealing with?
We got the Carfax with the gentleman on the phone. I send it over to him. It starts the Carfax.
You mean he sent it over to you?
No. He said, let's do
it. Oh, you sent the Carfax to the inspector.
Yes. Okay. I said, here's the Carfax. He said, look, this is new to me as well. We're all learning.
What, the English language? I'm sorry. No, I'm just trying. Hey, I want to tell you. No, so
you're being
sent
mean.
I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself.
He's very sensitive because we found out about the Transformer thing.
So
I just tried to find out.
The only thing about the Carfax, and we watch so many movies now where people take VIN numbers of dead cars and put them on new cars and this and that.
I don't watch that movie.
Is that the Carfax starts in 2014. And
it predates it.
Yes. So I'm hoping that it's maybe a algorithm problem on Carfax. And
God, how much do you want this car?
Question, when you talked to the guy that was selling the car and you said, I'm looking for the Carfax, was his reply, prank call, bad connection.
If I'm being honest with you right now, my hope is this guy comes back and says, look, man, your $175 was well spent because you saved yourself a world of heartache with this vehicle. It's not the one for you. Move on with your life.
Yeah. Or you could have just said no without spending the $175.
Right.
I need to know. I need to know.
There are cars that are a lot closer that have lots of sand in the wheel well. You can find them. You just have to look.
The guy says, this is a great car. I call Papa Santana. And I think he might be in Argentina at the moment.
Right.
And I hear the international before he picks up, and he says the bank is closed. Sorry, son. And then so that's two. Three, he says yes, and then I gotta hope to God that somehow this car actually works. That's it.
It's a long way to go, ladies and gentlemen.
It really is.
A very, very long way to go. Well, thank you to all the helpers. I really appreciate
the idea that I'm going through a midlife crisis as well.
Well, I wasn't going to mention it.
I can relate to those. My son even refers to my car as my 60-year-old crisis car. Thank you very much.
That's nice.
That's the way it goes. Hey, when we come back, a big movie weekend and some controversy that we will address about who's going. Oscar might be going.
I'm definitely going.
Joker, and then, of course, the Rob Spiewak Tour de Force Judy. It's going to be, which we'll update you when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hola, it's Angie with a new Oh My Golf show out now, and we are talking about two of Mike's favorite things, women empowerment and candy. How to design your own version of success and stop stressing the f*** out over work. And the Halloween candy war is on. Which better have my bit, oh honey? Subscribe to the Oh My Golf show today on YouTube and Apple Podcasts.
Another fat joke from me. Angie. Anyway, welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Zazzles. Everyone is unique, which makes it tough when everything you shop for looks the same.
Yeah.
But wait.
What?
What? At Zazzle. Zazzle, Zazzle, Zazzle. At Zazzle, you can customize anything and everything. Like my new personalized golf balls that I've been handing out on the course. I love them. With impeachment just around the corner, I got some golf balls with Donald Trump's face on it and handed it out to my Republican friends. And they laughed because they didn't hear me muttering under my breath when I walked away from them.
Just around the corner, Mike.
Zazzle.com, spelled Z-A-Z-Z-L-E, in case you were wondering, is the only place you need to customize anything. Just go to Zazzle.com, choose from hundreds of products, customize, and you're done. They make unique easy. I will tell you about Zazzle. Seriously, it seemed like I customized these online, and they were delivered, I felt like, the same afternoon.
Yeah, it felt like it.
It was ridiculously fast. I mean, really amazing. Use Zazzle for wedding and party planning. They have the best save-the-date cards, invitations, banners, decorations, everything. And for gift-giving, Zazzle rocks. The holidays are coming up, and you can get customized gifts for everyone on your list. Customized designs from popular brands like Frozen 2, Disney, Harry Potter, or Sesame Street. That you will not be able to find in any store. The Today Show, Good Morning America, and most importantly, yours truly, Mike O'Mara. We all love Zaza. Go to Zazzle.com/TMOS and receive 20% off site-wide now through December 31st. That's Zazzle.com/TMOS for 20% off site-wide. Remember, Zazzle.com/TMOS. All right. Once again, here we are with Hollywood. And you know what? The movie The Joker was fascinating to me based on the look of Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh,
he is emaciated with his oversized head. Anyway, it looks like a head on a stick, and he looks scary. But I have to say something. Oscar's going to go see it. I am not.
Okay.
And I'll explain the whole thing to you. But the trailer that I looked at matched the reviews that I read. And the trailer to me was like, there are split seconds that look absolutely terrifying, where just his face, and he's pouting his lips. But there was nothing in the trailer that really grabbed me. And then when I read the reviews, including the most recent this morning in the New York Times, about, you know, what's the fuss about? I kind of said,
oh, really?
And then Carla says, did you hear that people are worried now that there's going to be an attack? I don't want to go see that movie. I'm like, you know what? Based on the reviews I read and you reacting to the hype machine that's out there, which is but really the
review
horrible.
Was the review was what?
The reviews that the movie is not all that. It's not that good. And it's not. There's not a lot happening in the movie. That's the.
What about
that
the
was
darkness?
The gist of the review.
The tone.
They really didn't dwell on that. Mm. The movie is getting about 69% on Rotten Tomatoes. The public really wants to see it. It's going to be a smash.
Sure.
I'm glad you're going to see it. I welcome your your review
feedback.
Of it. But we're not going to do it. We're not going to see. We're going to go see the Rob Spiewak film.
Endorsed. Officially endorsed. Yes.
Judy.
Well, you would endorse it no matter what. It's old 60s pop culture, and you would endorse it no matter who it was.
Even right? though she's got a very small mouth. This.
Do you endorse Renee Zellweger as Judy Garland? Because I don't like Renee Zellweger.
I am on the fence. Based on the clips I have seen, sometimes she looks dead on and sounds brilliant as her. Sometimes she doesn't. I need to see the full film, and I will see the full film.
What's Judy Garland's rap?
Judy Garland was the mother of Liza Minnelli.
Oh.
Judy Garland was a child star, most notably
Annie.
In The Wizard of Oz.
Oh.
No, she was not Annie. No. The Wizard of Oz. She's Dorothy. You've seen The Wizard
yeah,
of
yeah.
Oz.
Tap your heels.
She's Dorothy, and then she went on to have a musical movie theater career and did very, very well.
Was she in The Sound of Music?
No, that would be she was Julie Andrews.
Oh, sorry.
That's Julie Andrews, a little later down the road.
Mm.
And she was also a famous singer, went on the Ed Sullivan Show a lot.
Broadway?
That's where I saw her as a kid. Broadway. She was on Broadway, yes. And
Jack
really
Parr, great guest
Omega,
on the Jack Parr Show. She used to come
Jack
in and make
Parr
up stories,
show.
Yeah.
Carol Burnett Show?
Never did Burnett.
Oh.
But the how do you know that? How do you know that for a fact?
Well, because the timeline doesn't jive.
Okay, all right. Just would you like to add anything? I know you're chomping at the bit over there.
Not really. She was one of the top box office draws in the late 30s, early 40s. She was often paired with Mickey Rooney. They made a series of films that made a mint for MGM. She was very bankable, but the tragic turn to the story is that because she was a kid and they were working her so hard, they would pump her full of uppers and downers to get the most out of her, to
aww.
Keep her from gaining weight.
Mm.
She was really almost mentally abused by Louis B. Mayer because she was such a valuable property. And that came really to bring her to her death in 1969. She was, I think, only 47 when she
died.
Oh, my
God.
She was drug-addled. She was a drug addict.
Like Mayer Motion Pictures?
Was that? Yeah. Louis B. Mayer at MGM.
Wow.
If you see clips of her on black and white television in the 60s,
yeah.
would that be right?
Yeah.
The 60s, you'll see somebody who really does appear to be horribly addled. She's like, she's very, like, and it also went along with, in my Easter bonnet, much like Liza sings.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
yes.
She got away with that singing. The most famous song I think she sings is the one that got away. The Man That Got Away. And that, but she still always sings with that. And she was really messed up, and she looks messed up.
Yeah.
And she was messed up because she was, required, like so many performers, the drugs to get her through the day. And it was really, really a sad story that she ended up like that. And child stars were kind of messed up.
47.
And this is Judy Garland from the 60s. But I don't think you can tell by listening to a song because I think
you need to
she
see
had
her.
An amazing voice. She really did. I mean, from all the way from Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Let's say this is Judy Garland, the real Judy Garland.
The night is bitter. The stars have lost their glitter. The wind grow colder.
Beautiful.
Suddenly older.
I'll let it hit the high note.
And all because of the man that got away.
And I think she was accepted with all of her obvious limitations, drug-wise and otherwise, because
right.
she was so beloved. And
yeah.
The basis of the movie Judy, it actually goes from her childhood and flashes back and forth. By the late 60s, she was broke.
Oh, my God.
I mean, had no money and uninsurable, therefore unemployable. Mm. So she had to fly to London to do a series of concerts, and that was like the last high moment of her career.
That's why would that sounds like a depressing movie to go see.
Yeah, my cup of tea right there. Absolutely. I'll be going out to see Judy. Should be a lot of fun.
Which is more depressing, the Joker or Judy?
Well, we'll compare our depressing. We'll compare notes on our depressing movie experiences when we come back.
We'll cover the box
on, on Monday. We will take a short break, and when we come back, you know, Rob's Nostalgia Corner, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, oh boy.
Because we have double nostalgia on the Mike O'Mara Show today. We'll be right back. As we enter 5780, here is something to keep in mind. It's me, Rosh Hashanah, with talent on loan from Yahweh. Folks, the new year looks promising. So far, so good. But to really make the best of it, buy the Mike O'Mara Bonus Shoe. Go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click the banner. What a mitzvah. You'll get a sixth uncensored commercial-free shoe every week. Plus, access to the full bonus archive, so that it shouldn't be a total. Oy, such funny. So, don't be a putz. Support TMOS and do it now. Brought to you by EIB. Excellence in bagels.
Thank you, Rosh. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Brought to you by Brooke Linen. You spend one third of your life in sheets. Don't you want them to be insanely comfortable?
Yes.
I sleep in mine, and then I wear them around the house all day long.
Toga, toga,
toga, toga, toga, toga. What's wrong with this? When you sleep, sleep well.
Oh, my God.
Sleep on hotel-quality sheets that don't cost an arm and a leg. You know what makes John Belushi so funny?
What?
He takes that line, and just the way he says toga, he did that funnier than anybody could have done it.
Yeah, Doga. You're right.
Doga.
One word. I just love that. One word.
I know. Go to brooklinen.com, the winner of the best of online betting category by Good Housekeeping. They have over 35,000 five-star reviews. That's not easy to get.
No.
More than any other online betting company, with over 500,000 happy sleepers and counting, my Brooklinen sheets are the most comfortable sheets I've slept on, and their towels have turned my bathroom into a spa. Spa!
Oh, God!
That's from, Crazy Rich Asians.
I love Crazy Rich Asians.
I do, too. I love Crazy Rich Asians.
It's a great movie.
I never know. I right now, that is my go-to. Whatever it's on, I never turn it off. I couldn't recommend them more for friends, family, or treating yourself to the upgrade you deserve. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer. Spa!
Spa!
Just for our listeners, get 10% off and free shipping when you use promo code TMOS at brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident that all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get 10% off and free shipping is to use promo code TMOS at brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com, promo code TMOS. Brooklinen, these are the best sheets ever. Mm. Spa! All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time. Let's dive in. And we now have the music. Rob Spiewak's Nostalgia Corner. Oh, there you are. Yes, you went kind of cartoony.
Well,
yes,
actually, this is the scene set music for My Three Sons.
My Three Sons. What do you have this week, maestro of the past?
We go back 63 years, Mike.
Wow.
The year is 1956.
Wow.
Dwight Eisenhower is our president.
Mm-hmm.
My Fair Lady opens on Broadway. Videotape is invented and used for the first time.
Oh, that's good videotape.
And we are in the throes of the Cold War. And you may ask yourself, 1956.
Internet. All right, go ahead.
What? It's 1956, Mike. You turn on the radio. What are people listening to? What's the number one songs of 1956?
Elvis?
Not yet. Don't read ahead. This is a number one hit from 1956. This is called The Poor People of Paris.
Yes. I thought you were playing like staging music.
No,
this is like a hit?
This is a number one hit in early 1956. Also in early 1956, you got Tennessee Ernie Ford's 16 Tons.
Oh, my life.
People say a man is made out of mud.
I like this.
A poor man's made
basically
out
a folk song.
We were just rolling out of the Depression, though, right? Around that time?
No, that's
no.
About 25 years after the Depression.
No.
Roughly.
16 tons Tennessee Ernie Bro just rolling out of the depression.
And another, Mike, another number one hit from 1956 is called Moonglow, the theme from Picnic, which to me sounds like elevator music. But this was the number one song.
So the first one sounded like
yeah,
elevator.
Yeah, this is the number one song on the pop charts.
Yeah. How many radio stations were out there?
There is 208.
So
yeah, I don't know.
Is this no, I'm saying, like, is this a record? Is it like a radio airplay?
This is the Billboard Hot 100. Okay.
Is this before the explosion of rock and roll?
Yes, it is. And I just want to set the stage. This is what people were listening to in 1956. Mm-hmm. All right. So in the summer of 1956, Elvis Presley is starting to become a thing. And he's booked. Everyone remembers Elvis on the Ed Sullivan Show, but he was not debuted on the Ed Sullivan Show. He did several shows first. And he was booked to go on the Milton Berle show. And when he went on Berle, he covered a song that he had not recorded yet, but it existed, and it was called Hound Dog.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
The original.
Who did this one?
This is called Big Mama Thornton. And this was a hit around Memphis, and that's how Elvis knew it. And it was a big one in his live shows. And he'd come out and he'd do it, and he'd really, really kill it. So when he went on Milton Berle,
singing sensation all over the country, Elvis Presley.
And this is like the first time people ever saw Elvis sing Hound Dog, first time many people had ever heard the song Hound Dog. And so he went into it with bumping and grinding, and the next day, the papers tore him up. They were sort of ambivalent leading up to it, but they called it comical. They called it a farce. They called it, quote, hillbilly burlesque.
Ooh.
They called it bumping and grinding, and it drove Elvis crazy because that's not what he was about. So to set the record straight, that next day, he went to the studios of RCA Victor in New York City, and up to then, he had a sound. A lot of reverb on his voice.
I've been traveling over my...
That sounded... This is one of his first recordings. It gives a good example of the sort of tape effect of echo that gives him this sort of otherworldly sound, but it's also sort of a hillbilly sound. Right. And up to now, they were trying to replicate that sound and keep that echo on his voice, but Elvis did not want to be known as a hillbilly. So he went in and he said, lose all the reverb off my voice. We're going to make a new kind of record, and this is what we're going to record.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, a crying old time.
And the thing that blows my mind, he did 31 takes of this song. When you listen to how hard he's singing,
yeah.
The one you're listening to right now is take 28.
Can you go back to the reverb
and
then play it just as high because I just want to compare the two?
I've been traveling over miles.
Yeah, I get it. And what's neat is
that. Now back to Hound Dog, please.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Also,
it's a much better recording, right?
Yeah, and also the same band. It's just his same three pieces that are captured. Elvis went in with a sound knowing what he wanted, and he got it. And
that's
he
why
sort
these
of
guys are geniuses.
Shut the critics down.
It's always about sound. Read about the Rolling Stones and how they did it.
Precisely.
It's all sounds, putting microphones in front of amps and getting different sounds and using different guitar sounds. Sound, sound, sound. Yes, the melody's important. Yes, the lyrics are important.
Oh, but it's the sound.
The sound of these records taking the same melodies. That's why somebody can record a song and it's a flop and somebody else can change it just a tiny little bit and it becomes a hit. So did he explode after this?
He exploded. This song was released on a 45 RPM record on July 13th, 1956. There was a pretty good song on the flip side as well.
Teddy Bear.
Don't Be Cruel.
Oh, and Don't Be Cruel, sorry.
This would be the greatest selling single record until Boys to Men in the 1980s. It would still be at number one, I believe, for 14 weeks.
I know
this song?
Hold on. Oh, yeah.
Now, the button on this story is that he got so big based on this one record, Ed Sullivan, who vowed he would never book Elvis Presley.
Why?
Because he thought he was hillbilly farce, burlesque, all this stuff. He couldn't ignore him. He booked Elvis for four appearances. And in late 1956, he brought Elvis out on stage and Sullivan said, I want America to know this is a fine, good boy. And that little sentence from Ed Sullivan legitimized Elvis for all of America because Sullivan was that important. And it also legitimized rock and roll.
Well, now you know, ladies and gentlemen, he's a fine, good boy. And for the next 35 seconds, you're going to watch him shake his balls on national television.
Didn't that make... That was when...
The final appearance on Ed Sullivan, because of the uproar, he was only shown from the waist up.
Mm.
But that is the truth. And the fact is that rock and roll, which was feared by most of white America in 1956, based on the fact that Ed Sullivan said it was okay, rock and roll would proceed and become the dominant music force for the next 25 years.
Now, what were the Beatles the first on Ed Sullivan as well?
No, the Beatles made their American debut on Ed Sullivan in February of 1964. So this would be 8 years after this.
Wow.
Or so.
Mm-hmm.
But Ed Sullivan set the template for pop music for much of the 1960s.
Has anybody covered Hound Dog since?
Yeah, Jeff Beck has done it. Elvis, interestingly, the only song that Elvis sang in every concert he ever did from when he recorded it on. Hmm. There's other songs that would come and go out of his act, but this is the one he always did.
Hound Dog.
I'm shocked that I love this.
Yeah, that was a good one this week, right?
This week, pretty good.
Exactly. Do you have closing music?
Your Nostalgia Corner.
That's Nostalgia Corner from Rob Spiewak. Thank you, Rob Spiewak.
Thank you.
And now we're going to let your brother come in and do Oscar's take. I'm just here moving parts around. That's all I'm doing now. All right? You don't need me. A robot can do it.
That's nonsense.
We'll take a break, and we will come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show Friday edition right here.
When you call the Yak Shack, then you too can say,
Mike from Yuba, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Call 888-92 or more. Leave a Yak Shack call for Mike.
I'm sorry.
But I'm not sorry.
Welcome back.
That's a weird show, man.
It is. All over the place. This segment of the program brought to you by Legacy Box. Isn't it time to digitize your lifetime of memories? You can do it. All you need is Legacy Box. You just send in your Legacy Box filled with old home movies and pictures, and they'll do the rest, digitizing your moments onto a thumb drive, the cloud, or DVDs. It's like magic. Ho, ho, ho.
It's magic.
It's magic.
Come on, Oscar, sing along.
It's magic.
Thank you. You get your originals and new digital files back in a few weeks, and they keep you updated at every step of the process. We all used Legacy Box, and the results were amazing. Finally, you can get all your memories organized and ensure that your family history is preserved forever. Legacy Box, the world's largest, most trusted digitizer of home movies and photos. Over 450,000 families have trusted Legacy Box. They have over a decade of experience and all the work in the USA. That's where they do it. There's never been a better time to digitally preserve your memories. Visit LegacyBox.com today to get started for a limited time. Our listeners can get a huge exclusive discount. Go to LegacyBox.com/TMOS to get 40% off your first order. Get started preserving your past. Go to LegacyBox.com/TMOS and save 40% today. And thank you, Legacy Box. And without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Oscar's Take.
Oscar Take!
Huh? A review and comment on the news of the day, as only our Bolivian Bloviator can do it. The views expressed by Oscar Santana in no way represent the views of the Mike O'Mara Show, its listeners, or the right-thinking people of the United States. Hey. And now, without further ado, Oscar's Take.
Oscar's Take.
Oscar!
Yes, sir.
A survey for National Taco Day found just
racist.
Five...
Right off the bat.
Racist.
Taco
Come
question.
On.
Sorry. A survey for National Taco Day found just 5% of Americans don't like tacos. 77% of us eat them at least every few weeks. 71% prefer tacos over burritos. And people in the Western U.S. are more likely to prefer hard tacos over soft tacos. And I'm pronouncing it weird.
Tacos.
Who doesn't like tacos?
Well, let me ask you this, fellas. First, are you a hard or soft taco type of man?
I am a soft taco man.
I believe the steak soft taco at Taco Bell is the ultimate taco.
Yeah, but it's hard or soft?
Soft. I said right? soft.
I'm sure our wives, I'm a soft guy as well. We'll all agree.
Yes. We're Easterners.
But do you ever mix it up? Because you can get a choice of two tacos with some of your meals at Taco Bell, for example. Do you go hard and soft?
I do not. I eat most of my tacos in a reclining position, and I find the hard tacos get crumbs on my breast.
Crumbs? I've seen them explode.
Yeah.
And they fall.
Horrible.
The last thing you want to do is picking a tortilla out of your sweater.
Well, if you're careful enough and the meat's not too drippy, you can, eat yourself a soft taco whilst driving to your favorite ice cream store.
Okay.
Do you remember him, Mike? Meat drippy? Morning guy, wasn't he?
Next,
yeah, hot meat drippy. With it.
Next level. Do you make tacos at home?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, hard or soft shell?
Probably the Ortega hard shell. Yeah.
A workhorse in our kitchen and always soft shell.
Always soft shell.
Always.
See, right, for me, I judge a person if they're hard or soft taco individuals. And I'll tell you, a soft taco individual says, I'll eat it, no big deal. A hard taco means they want to do the work. And the work is exactly what you just said, is if they spill on their chest or in their center console, they're willing to sacrifice it for the crunch.
That's right.
This is not an issue, though, if your car has had the center console removed before you bought it.
See? Johnny McSpence, he got it before I did. God, that pisses me off. All right, it's not just Taco Day, Oscar. Yes. Today is World Smile Day.
Ooh.
So to celebrate, here are five things you might not know about smiling. Smiling is contagious. It can make you feel better. It can reduce blood pressure. It might get you promoted at work. Say cheeks instead of cheese, because when someone takes your picture, saying cheeks shapes your mouth better than saying cheese. And I know there's certain websites you visit where they always see cheeks.
It's all cheeks.
As opposed to cheese. That's I would say Smile Day.
Smile Day is great for a man who has a terrible resting bitch face at all times. I got to tell you that it's hard sometimes to say, hey, man, I know you're thinking, but you look like you're pissed. So smile while you think.
Can you say cheeks?
You got the RBF more than anybody I've ever seen.
Say cheeks.
Stuff.
Cheeks.
It does. It's nice, right?
Yeah, and now somebody will screen save it. That's what they do to Oscar.
And I know not everybody's on Facebook. God bless you. You shouldn't be. I'm not hiding food in my cheeks. All right, I've gained a few lbs.
Winter's coming, are you sure?
I swear. It's I got acorns in here for later.
Hey,
no.
You know what? You'll always be ahead of us. Okay?
It's true.
So I get it. I can't help. Right. My face is getting bigger. It's part of genetics.
Right.
Your father doesn't have a big face.
Oh, you know what? My father has a different face, but my mom, you know what? This is not making sense. Right. I'm just saying this. That if I lose 20 pounds, my cheeks will still be high. You know why? Because I'm inking. We got high cheekbones.
Inking. I like that. Oh. That's why you're such a good worker. Yeah. Anyway, welcome back to Oscar.
Because we built
State.
The pyramids and then
Oscar,
built Oscar radio State. Studios.
HBO has announced a new late night style talk show that will be hosted by Elmo from Sesame
Street. Yes.
Seriously, it's called the Not Too Late Late Show with the Not Too Late Show with Elmo. And he'll interview celebrity guests just like the late night shows do. Production begins next month, but there's no word on a premiere date. By the way, it won't air on HBO. It'll be on their upcoming streaming service, HBO Max. In fact, all of HBO's Sesame Street content is moving to HBO Max. That's
of
probably
course.
Why they're doing this show. Both new episodes and reruns of the classic episodes from the past 50 years. So not too late show with
the Sesame Street property. I've watched it on HBO with my family. It's just as fantastic as it was when I was younger. The only way that the late night show I think would really work is if it's more in the line or the vein of an insult comic, because an insult comic Elmo would make more sense. But I don't
like Between Two Ferns Elmo.
Yes. Right? That would be genius.
Are you surprised that you won an Academy Award for acting?
Yeah. And I won't try the voice, but the guy that used to actually hold me is now in jail because he allegedly touched kids. What do you think of that?
That's right.
Right?
Where something, do you weigh in on that?
Like something really avant-garde that was not in the Sesame Street vein. I don't believe that'll happen.
No, I think the truth might lie in the middle. Yeah.
No, they're not going to be edgy.
Oscar's take.
Oh, it's Oscar's take.
Oscar, McDonald's just announced it's rolling out its first seasonal drink in 6 years. It's called the Cinnamon Cookie Latte.
Mm.
And it'll come in both hot and iced form starting on November 6th. Their last seasonal drink was the White Chocolate Mocha in 2013. I know you like your coffee, so I was curious what you thought.
I'm going to give you some insight, people. This is not seasonal. This is all about the McCafe, which saved McDonald's during the recession because it allowed them to compete with Starbucks. Because people said, why the F would you ever go anywhere else but Starbucks for coffee? They hired the guy from Canada. The coffee place in Canada?
Tim Hortons.
Yeah. From Tim Hortons. They got that formula. They got that formula for coffee.
Yes.
This is just about the bottom line. So if you're going in anyways, try it out. I'm sure it's going to be delicious. But you're padding their dollars.
Whenever we talk about coffee, I always think of Robin Williams in Moscow on the Hudson. Coffee, 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 coffee.
Would I try it? Yes. And I would also love, Mike, if on Monday we like to support small businesses. A new coffee shop has opened up downstairs on the first floor of this building.
Interview. Take a phone down. Interview him.
Hey, let's do it.
Interview him like I interview Michael, though, so we can get the nuances.
It's crepes and coffee.
It is.
Crepes and coffee. Way to go. We'll talk all about it next week. Ladies and gentlemen, you listen to Oscar's Take.
And
finally, you might want to move the kitties away from the device you're listening on right now. And if you have it out of the car, you might want to monitor your volume. There's a warning from me. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the last part of Oscar's Take here. Oscar, sex involves a lot of... fluids. After you're done getting it on, you're left dealing with all of those fluids. That's why a woman named Frances Tang in Costa Mesa, California, invented a product called Come and Gone, a special sponge on a sponge on a stick designed for women to do some internal cleaning after, you know. The instructions say, quote, just grab the handle, insert, swirl, remove, toss. If you're interested, a 10-pack of the sponges costs only $10, which I think is a really nice bargain. There you go.
Mike, in this day and age, the idea that I would think something you brought to this table is genius is not shocking.
Yeah.
If this product ends up on QVC, they will move millions of units.
Absolutely.
And I will tell you why. Because realistically speaking, there's nothing else like this out there on the market. So if you're first to market, per se, you will be first to you know where.
Amen. Amen.
Right?
And if you don't have a use for it, you can always use it to clean your exhaust. You know, that's Oscar's Take, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, you know what? If you use it enough, you don't even need to have the sex.
That's right. Exactly. Lots of other household uses. We will take a break and come back with the last audio vault of the week with Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Alexa, who are the interns on the Mike O'Mara Show?
I don't understand what you mean by interns.
You know, the people behind the scenes.
I don't know what you mean.
Come on, the ones who write all the promos, the people who do all the real work.
Did you mean to search for Matt Ponyboy Bloom?
What? No, he's not an intern.
Now searching for Ponyboy Bloom on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Alexa, cancel. Search people who work hard on TMOS.
Now searching for Maddie Masiello.
No!
Remember, I can play the Mike O'Mara Show for you, today, and every day. All you need to do is ask Alexa.
And Maddie, you should know that I have bet against Buffalo this weekend, but nothing would make me happier than to see the Buffalo Bills win a game. I would be very, very happy. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by our bonus packages. What's the matter, dumbass? Are you upset that your team is facing the New England Patriots this weekend? Are you sad that their QB looks to be more machine than man? And that your team's biggest success so far this season is showing up on the field in the same color uniforms? That's a bummer. It's week 5, and it already looks like their goose is Jack Kent Cook. So, may I suggest that you shut off your TV, and at 1 p.m. this Sunday, listen to the TMOS Bonus Show. It's an unscripted, unrestricted, no-holes-barred 6th episode of TMOS that you can get every week. Just click the banner on our website and you'll get access to all of our bonus content. Whether it's 5-0 or 0-5, which is also perfect, just sadder. Get TMOS, our bonus show. It's your passport to the Asport. The TMOS Bonus Show, brought to you by Woodward & Lothrop, Washington, D.C.'s premier department store, located at 11th Street Northwest between G and F. Woody's features over 400,000 square feet of retail space, so you know they'll have what you want. A travel agency, a theater, an infirmary, a swell merry-go-round, or a traveling art exhibit. They also sell clothes and Play-Doh.
Woody's.
And ceased operations in November 1995. Woody's is your way. There you go. Thank you very much. That's the. Oh, we got to start
open the thing.
Ball.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. I got to get it out here and do that and do that. There it is. Take it away, Rob. Speedway.
I didn't realize until I researched that spot that Madame Tussauds is in the old Woody's building.
Woody's downtown.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's where I slept there.
My my brother, when he was in high school, worked at Woody's.
Woody's, Woodward and Lothrop. Yeah. I remember it very well. If I ever wanted to get somebody a really nice sweater, I'd go to Woody's. Yeah. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good place. Okay, so poor Robert De Niro. Sad, right?
Sad?
He's being sued for $12 million by a former assistant citing abuse. She accuses De Niro of, quote, among other things, urinating while on the phone with her, and De Niro asking her to, quote, imagine him on the toilet. Mm. She has an angry voicemail to back up her charges.
Audio.
You live in Spain, and you upset with me. You tell me how nice you have it, your life over there, and you don't answer my call. How dare you? You're about to be fired. You're history. How dare you disrespect me? How much you did? Don't get angry with me because I'm pissed off because I didn't get a simple thing that I need right now here out in California when I'm here for less than 24 hours. You gotta be kidding me, you spoiled brat. You.
Now, the thing that troubles me, he should be so much smarter than to leave a message. Bad enough to do this live or face-to-face or on the phone with her where it could be recorded.
Well, when I yell at Pony like that, I'm always being recorded.
I know. It isolates the track.
Yeah.
It'll all come out later.
I know. The Pony Archives, everybody. After I'm dead.
Of course.
I'm not defending Robert De Niro because that's no way to lead.
Right. Yeah.
But the acting skill that he has in his movies.
The real deal, right? Doesn't it sound like you're listening to a scene from Goodfellas?
Yeah.
Maybe that's really who he is.
How dare you? You called me. You call me in California. You call me.
You're in Spain? You're in Spain?
You spoiled brat. You spoiled brat. I can't do 12 weeks.
Narcissist. Yeah,
but the idea that that's who he is.
Yes. That's the guy. Well, he doesn't seem like a totally pleasant dude.
No, he never has.
I'm not saying he's a bad person. Who knows if this individual's being overpaid or overcompensated? Who knows what the dynamics are?
He needs something in California where I am for 24 hours.
And remember, imagine me on the toilet.
Right. He's got the thing about De Niro is that
maybe he's got a phone next to his toilet.
But he also has a good sense of humor.
Yeah,
he does.
And really, my favorite De Niro is the laughing De Niro.
This is a YouTube date because the best part of that impression is the shape of your mouth when you do it.
I could jack a lantern.
You want to milk me, Fokker? I got nipples.
Mike, I don't like to step on your toes, but I have a double dose of Florida news that we need to cover.
Oh, my God.
In West Palm Beach, Florida. Is that far from you?
That's 90 minutes from me. It's right across the state, over where Oscar's car is.
If you are looking to get back into the church habit, they're opening a new church in West Palm Beach that used to be a strip club.
I believe that God is opening up some doors that a 20-month-old church can't open by themselves.
Mm-hmm. I don't mind being in a building that was a strip club any more than I mind somebody walking in our doors that had at one time in their life been a stripper. We believe that we can bring hope and healing to any location. That's what we're trying to do. The people that call New Sound Church home are overwhelmingly excited about the idea of being able to take a space like this and see God do something amazing in it.
Either way, lots of money changing hands.
Yeah, he doesn't sound like he's from West Palm Beach, Mr. Gemstone. He truly didn't.
It's a gemstone church.
It is.
Oh, it's a gemstone church.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. For sure. You can tell that.
Do you know how great it was when they went to the Brother Billy gemstone church and they still had Sears in the tile of the floor in the church? I love that show. It's so
gemstones.
Great.
Gemstones.
Misbehaving. All right, let's jump over to Fort Lauderdale. A woman found an intruder in her house and did the best way to defend herself that she could. She bit him, even though she didn't have her teeth in.
He was telling me, no, mama, everything gonna be all right. Everything's not gonna be all right. I'm not your mama. I don't know who you are. Get out of my house. I was able to bite him, and I didn't even have my teeth in my mouth. I felt some kind of danger. I sensed it. My life were in danger. I ran out, and he locked himself in here, locked me out of my own place. The police knocked on the door and said, the police, he opened the door. And when he opened the door, they pulled him out and put the handcuffs on him and took him in the car.
She felt a danger, Mike.
When do you where do you find these clips?
Local Florida television.
Okay, it's just it's.
I know what her favorite candy is.
What's that?
Gummy bears. thank you. Working right till the end of the week, people.
Now, Mike, where do you weigh in on the band The Who?
I love The Who. I think The Who are one of the great bands of all time.
You know they have an album coming out before Christmas?
A new one?
A new album.
New music?
And they
I hope it's good.
A remaster. You know a remaster.
No, this is brand new music, brand new album. Right. And I got a sneak peek at one of the first singles. This is called This Music Must Fade. And I kind of like it.
Vibe.
I had heard that his voice wasn't all that anymore, but his voice sounds great.
Yeah, I like it. I'd love to listen to the whole thing. I'm with it.
Could you play that with reverb?
No, it's not going to play with reverb. Don't be a jerk now. He's an older man. Be nice. All right.
That's a callback, everybody.
Now, we close, Mike, with Cardi B. Do you know what she's naming her new album?
What's that?
Tiger Woods.
Really?
You want to know why?
No. No, yes, I do. Yes, yes.
The answer is yes. Here we go.
Sorry. I'm going to name my album, I think, Tiger Woods, because remember when everybody was talking on Tiger Woods, like, oh, blah, 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 this, blah, blah, that. And then he came and won that green jacket. That's what I'm going to name my album.
Yeah, he won that green jacket. There was also a golf tournament, but mostly he won that green jacket.
Mm-mm. Yeah, yeah. Why does she rename the album Articulation?
Well, we have a cut from the album, Mike.
Okay.
None of you bitches, none of you bitches got these
That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great weekend, everybody. Articulate.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And don't forget yourself a bonus show over the weekend and spread the word about TMOS. We are having our TMOS Yak Shack open all weekend, 888-920-MORE, 888-920-6673. And send in your letters to Rob with two B's for the mailbag. Always audience participation encouraged on the Mike O'Mara Show. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Remember, if you've got time to lean, you got time to clean.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Thank God it's Friday!
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I could pull a better cartoon out of my ass. Hey, whoa! Wasn't that great, kids?
If I thought you were my friend, I just don't think I could bear it.
Bow to your sensei. Bow to your sensei!